WHIN Gallatin. It's 10 a.m., and it's time to ask the pastor. Until 10:30 this morning, we will ask United Church of God Pastor Fred Keller's questions about the Bible. If you have questions, email to jrcarrollwilliams@comcast.net. Now let's go to our studio for answers from Pastor of United Church of God, Fred Kellers. Here's the man with the questions, J.R. Williams.
Good morning, all you folks listening to Ask the Pastor, the true word of God straight from the Bible. So, go get your Bible and follow along with us as we teach the true word of God. Brought to you by the United Church of God, Tennessee Congregation, and WHIN Radio. Now, without further ado, here is my brother in Christ and the pastor of the United Church of God in Nashville, Tennessee, Mr. Fred Kellers.
Good morning, JR. Good morning, Jimmy, our engineer. And again, thank you, folks. Good morning to you. Thank you for listening in here on WHIN Radio.
Brother Kellers, last week we had a wonderful time here.
Yes, we did.
Talking about the Word of God and talking about the Sermon on the Mount. We didn't get nowhere near through it. We're going to start back and give sermon number two,
Bible study number two,
the good old-fashioned Bible study about the Word of God. And so, Brother Kellers, without further ado, why don't you take off?
I'll tell you what, folks. I hope you go get your Bibles and you turn to the Sermon on the Mount, because the Sermon on the Mount is often read for inspiration. But we're going to read it today for inspiration, but also for truth, because there's a lot in here that sometimes it's easy to just read it and not really notice what it exactly says.
Yes, we'll pause right there.
Yes, and we finished up, we'd gotten down to verse 17 in Matthew 5, and we actually went over time because we were getting so interested in reading
we didn't notice the time. Go get your Bible and get into Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount.
And we're going to offer you some free material if you've got a pen and a or a pencil and a piece of
Brother
paper.
Brother Kellers, you stopped last time on Matthew 5. Why don't you start right there?
I will. I'll tell you what. In verse 17, we read it, but we really didn't get a chance to fully talk about it. You read it.
Yes.
It says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." And you know something? People think that he did. I mean, here Jesus said, "Don't think something." And yet people say, well, he came to do away with the law, to nail the law
to
the cross.
To the cross. I've heard people say it.
That's right. I mean, if you were to ask them, is it okay then to murder? No.
They'd steal.
Say, steal. Well, sometimes they might think it's okay even to steal. But they think it's okay, well, you don't have to keep the old Jewish Sabbath. And, you know, a lot of people think it's okay to lie if they think it's for a good reason.
Oh, yeah. Or say, I'm going to, you know, it don't matter what day you go, as long as you go on one day. It does, too.
But a lot of people who are Christians believe that there are times it's okay to lie. And yet, of Jesus Christ, it said
he's full
of grace and truth.
I lied one time to keep Mel Tillis from getting his head knocked off by his wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe it would have been good to let Mel, we're sorry for you out there.
I should have just played the dummy.
Yeah, absolutely. You should have. Jesus
would
lie.
But we love Jesus. We love those folks. These are good, great people.
So it says, do not think. Now here's something we shouldn't be thinking. I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Sometimes people think, oh, you don't even have to read the Old Testament. Well, he didn't destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, I need to explain that, because sometimes people look at that and say, he fulfilled it for us. That is, he kept it for us. And that way we don't have to. He kept the Sabbath. He didn't steal. He didn't lie. He didn't commit adultery or fornication. He didn't take God's name in vain. So that means he fulfilled it. We don't have to. That's not what Jesus meant.
Remember, folks, you can't take somebody else's medication. It won't do you no good, so you can't.
That's right. The word fulfill is sumpleru, is actually a Greek word that means to fill up to the full.
Yes.
When they were in the boat and the boat began to fill with water, it's the same Greek word that was used there.
That's right.
So really what it's saying is, I didn't come to destroy the law,
enhance
but
it,
to fill it to the full, enhance it. That is, and he's going to do that right here in this chapter where he's going to say, you've heard not to murder, but I say don't even be angry with your brother. You've heard not to commit adultery. We're going to read that in a moment, but I'm saying to you, don't even look on a woman to lust after her. Is that doing away with the law?
No.
No, that's filling it to fulfilling the full.
And that law is medication, like I said. You wouldn't take somebody else's medication. The law he's talking about is medication for your soul.
He's filling it to the full. He's showing us not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, which is even more important and further, goes further. Not even to lust after a woman. And not even to be angry with your brother. So he's not doing away with the law. He's magnifying the law. And verse 18 says, Matthew 5, verse 18, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." And you read that last week.
I did, and it will come to pass that heaven and earth will pass away.
Well, except it'll be a new heavens
new
and
heaven,
a new earth.
And a new earth.
Yes, because in the Psalms it says that the center of the earth itself, the foundation, the core, will never pass, but in the Bible it says God is going to change it like a garment. So the center of the earth remains there, but he's going to let everything melt with fervent heat. And the earth will be new in the sense it'll be renewed after having been melted with fervent heat.
Uh-huh.
But notice, not even a little dotting of the I or crossing of the T, which would be the equivalent, will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. People think, well, it's already passed. Well, no, it hasn't
or
been fulfilled.
To the cross.
All of the prophets and the law have not been fulfilled.
Oh, no.
And then he says, verse 19, "Whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so." Now, this answers the question as to whether he fulfilled it for us, and we don't have to keep the law. Verse 19 answers that question.
Yes.
"Therefore, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven."
Well.
"But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, J.R. and Jimmy and folks listening in, you don't want to break any of these commandments, and you sure don't want to go around telling people that they're done away, because you don't want to be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Actually, that doesn't mean, J.R., that necessarily that they'll be in the kingdom. Some people who are going to do that won't even be in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And you'd say, well, they're going to be called least. Yeah, in the kingdom.
So if you talk about them in the kingdom,
they're
going to
be talking and say, those fellows who burned up back there, taught against the law and didn't obey it.
Didn't have a clue.
And we're going to find he magnifies that when we get to chapter 7, because the Sermon on the Mount covers Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And in chapter 7, he talks about people who claim to have preached in his name, have done many wonderful works, and he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who work lawlessness." So, folks, I think verse 17 18 and 19 are strongly teaching us.
Yes, they are.
That the law is not done away. And he's going to magnify the law beginning in verse 20. You got any more to say about 17, 18, and 19?
I could talk,
or do you
want to
start in verse 20?
I'm going to start right there at Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. That means you'll not be there. You got to be better than the scribes and the Pharisees. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our righteousness, they kept the law, but our righteousness has to exceed
that.
We have
to be better.
It's the spirit of the law.
That's the spirit of the law. And you will not be by no means into the kingdom of heaven, which is going to be set up here on this earth.
Yeah, the kingdom of heaven will be on the earth.
Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it was said to the ancients, that's the people of old, you shall not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be liable to the judgment. Now, taking someone's life is quite something. We hear of all these problems and the things that we're having overseas and here and yonder, and in some of the United States where they just fight each other, fight their brother, and cut people's heads off and all this. Sometimes it's done in the name of their religion. Most of the time it is overseas because they're a Christian that they're killed and murdered. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Jesus don't want nobody to even be angry with anyone.
No.
You know, Matthew 5 says, but I say to you that whoever is appear angry with his brother without a cause, shall be liable to the judgment, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca. Now, that's quite a word right there. Raca means empty. It is a Hebrew and Aramaic word, and the word Raca, folks, means empty-headed. Like if I say to you, you idiot, you empty-headed idiot, I'm saying the word Raca to you, you will be liable to the Sanhedrin. That's what the Bible says. Now, the Sanhedrin in the Bible was the Roman justice or the judges.
Actually, this was the Sanhedrin was the Jewish council.
Yes, but it was the Jewish council
set up by the Romans. They
set up by
it.
The Romans and
they
designed
allowed
by
it,
them.
But it was Jews.
It
on
was
it.
Yes, and if you call a man a fool, oh, that's terrible right there. You'll be liable to be thrown into the hell fire, which is the second death. That means, if you just call a man a fool, so you got to watch what you say to people. And when you stand before the white throne judgment, if you've done bad enough, I'm sorry. It's called the fire of hell, which is the second death. You just won't be no more. You won't exist anymore. And when you're brought before the thing called the Sanhedrin, that's the council of judges.
Yes.
For just saying Raca, which is call somebody, I've heard people call worse than things than this, but you call somebody, well, you idiot, you empty-headed idiot. That's like I said, the word Raca in Aramaic means empty. So it's like call, so you ain't got no sense or something like that.
Right.
Well, they might have more sense than me if I happen to call them on certain things. They just haven't understood it yet. Don't you agree with that, Brother Kellers?
We can be in danger. We shouldn't call people
nothing
fools.
No.
You know, sometimes if you say something you did was foolish, I can understand that. But to call somebody a fool means that they are that they have no sense and that's the way they are. Also, there's a possibility that this particular word where it says whoever says you fool, that word also sounds like a Hebrew word that means graceless wretch. In other words, it's like saying you're going to go to the lake of fire.
Well, my
and if you tell somebody else that they're going to go to the lake of fire, it puts you in danger of going to the hell fire.
Yes.
Gehenna fire.
Here's the real good one, and I'm going to let you have it after this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are in the way, on the way with him. When you're with your adversary, somebody that don't agree with you or has some kind of problem against you and will deliver you to the judge, agree with him before you get to the judge. See if you can't settle that out of court. Why go into court? Neither one wins when you go to court. And the judge will deliver you to the officer.
Wait. The lawyers win.
The lawyers win. You're absolutely right. They only win.
If you're a lawyer, you have a relative who's a lawyer, there are some really good lawyers who are decent folks. But I had to say that.
Lawyers do win. And they're the only ones. It's like a fight.
Yeah.
Two guys come out and punch out each other, and one of them's laying on the floor, and the other guy walks away, but he's all bloody and bruised up, too.
Neither one won.
Nobody won.
That's right.
And if you can take someone, I've seen this happen time and time again. I had a friend of mine who got in trouble with another guy, and the guy was going to take him to court. And I said, whoa. Why don't you go to that guy and sit down and say, hey, Homer, you're my buddy. We've always been friends or something. Or if you're not his buddy, if you haven't been friends, if you say go to him and sit down and say, let's talk. I want to talk this out. Let's see if we can settle this without going to court. That's better for all of it. That's better for everyone.
Absolutely.
And God wants that. Yes, sir. Try to settle the problem before you get to the judge. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. And verse 26 finishes that off, where it says, assuredly I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you've paid the last penny. He's just saying that if we do something wrong and we expect God to get us out of everything that we've ever done wrong on this earth, he's not going to do it.
No.
If you and I cheat somebody, if we take something that isn't ours, if we haven't paid somebody for what, if they do some work for us and we haven't paid them and they take us to court, God, you can pray, well, God, spare me from this. Well, wait, if you did wrong, you're going to have to pay for it. God doesn't just protect us from all of the mistakes that we make. And
what you sow, you shall reap.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes, what goes around comes around.
That's right. He will deliver us into his kingdom, but he will let the foolish things that we have done here on earth, sometimes we have to live with those. What you sow, you reap. So that's what he's saying right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Verse 27,
mm-hmm.
Did you have any more on what's above there?
No, what's above the earth, yeah, it's
all right,
what we
let's
said.
Go on, verse 27. Here's where he's talking about adultery and not lusting. And you're going to see that, once again, he's going to take the law, just as we read in verse 17, and he is going, and verse 18, he's going to fill it to the full. He's going to fill it up. He's going to take the law where it was just the letter of the law and show the spiritual meaning behind it. Verse 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Now, I've heard people say, Brother Kellers, committing it in your heart is not doing the deed. It is, too, because when you're, well, let's just say this. I know, you know, everyone knows, when you're actually doing the deed, it comes from the heart.
It comes from the heart. And if you're thinking of it, you might start eventually doing it. So it says, verse 29, and if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell or Gehenna. Now, let me just explain, folks.
Please do.
That does not mean literally. Gouge this was eye. An expression that they had at that time to where if something was really in your heart, something that was really bad, that you needed to get rid of it. Notice the context. The context is that you have adultery in your heart. And you can take one eye. Let's say if a man is looking at a woman and he's lusting after her. Well, he can take one eye out. Does that do away with the lust?
No. Stop.
He's still got another eye.
He's still got another eye.
And if you take out both eyes, he can still lust.
He can still lust.
Absolutely.
You mean stop. Don't gouge out your eye. Just stop looking.
This is called an idiom. This was an expression that they had.
Called a what?
And it is an expression that means
idiom.
Something else. An idiom.
That's
like if we say something's cool, We don't necessarily mean that it's got ice on it.
My granddaughter, she runs me crazy with that word. Cool.
Cool, that's right. But it, cool. She doesn't mean it's got ice on it. That's an expression called an idiom. Or if you say that jazz was hot, does it mean it actually burns? No. You have cool jazz, hot jazz, and those are idioms. And that's what it is here. It's just an expression. Not that they expected someone literally to do it, but what it's saying is whatever is causing you troubles.
Yes.
And I'll give an example of that. I think we have a little time to explain that. Let's imagine that a man is having, he's married.
Yes.
But he is having an affair with another woman.
Absolutely.
Now, what he needs to do is quit, of course. We understand
that. Stop it.
And he can move to another city. By moving to another city, just picking up his family and moving, he's showing that, it's like cutting off your eye and throwing it away. He's making the effort. Doesn't take it necessarily out of his heart, but he's making the effort. He is going to extremes to make sure that he is not going to do anything. Maybe it would involve not seeing a woman anymore. Maybe there's a woman he's lusting after, and he's deciding that he's just going to avoid ever being near her.
It's a two-way street always.
Yeah.
And if I've seen it on the road working as entertainers, and I've seen women are after the men just as bad as the men after women. It's not just a one-way
street. Yeah, that's sad. Continuing, verse 30, it's just another thing that he's doing. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into Gehenna fire. It's once again, it is an idiom. It's an expression. It's not that getting rid of a hand is going to get rid of the sin out of your heart.
If you're stealing with your right hand, you're going to steal right on with your left.
That's right. Your heart is still going to have adultery in it if you... And lust, unless you go to, he's saying, go to extreme measures to not lust.
Absolutely.
To not have it in your heart. That's the point that he's making. J.R., why don't you take on from?
Yeah, well, in Matthew 5, this is awful, wonderfully good, right?
In verse 31, yeah.
5 and verse 31, it also said, whosoever shall put away his wife. That don't mean put her in prison. That means do away with her by giving her a bill of divorce, divorcing her, putting her away. But Jesus Christ said, I say to you that whoever shall put away his wife except for the cause of fornication or adultery causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her who is put away commits adultery. Now, that is really something right there.
Yes.
I have seen people with two and three wives, not living at the same place, but they'd have two wives living, and they just, couldn't get along. And they said, I'm going to try this one a while.
Let me say.
How long have you been married, Brother Kellers?
I've been married for 51 years.
Isn't that wonderful?
You were married for 56?
58, almost 58.
So almost 57, almost 58.
And it's a wonderful thing for
someone
who's been married.
Absolutely. And I just want to say that this is expanded and given a little more detail when you get to Matthew 19. I won't turn to Matthew 19 right now. But this explanation of not divorcing, God says he hates divorce back in the book of Malachi. And we got 5 minutes, so...
And if you go out and you're divorced, if your wife has passed away, excuse me for interrupting again, you had to duct tape, Jimmy. If your wife has passed away, and I've had this happen to me, the JR, I walked that walk. My wife passed away, and I prayed and prayed and looked for a lady that would be a Christian lady, be in the church with me, go to church with me, and
you found her.
And I finally found that
God
lady.
God gave her to you.
God gave her to me, and she did not. I have met many, many women that I have dated and went out with. I found out after there, they had a living husband right on. They had just left. And I said, no, this is not for me. God won't allow this. And you might ought to think about that, folks.
Folks, I hope you're enjoying this. And I just have to tell you, JR and I, after the one that we did for last week. And we both said we loved it so much that we enjoyed going through this Bible study in the Sermon on the Mount and going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We haven't gotten very far. But I want you to know, if you love the Bible and you would like to know more, why don't you go get a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, just anything to write on, or as Uncle did, write it on the wall. Uncle took the message and he wrote it on the wall. But
Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyway, I better not sing or people all, the last two people who are listening to us will turn off the radio. We have a Bible study course. Now, it's free. This is not something you're going to pay for or you'll ever receive a bill. It's a comprehensive 12-lesson overview of the Bible. And this course is designed to walk you through the basic lessons of the Bible. It'll teach you why the Bible is true. I'm going to show you, prove that.
Yes.
How to study more effectively.
Yes.
And well, it'll answer some of life's greatest questions. And if you got your pen or pencil, JR is going to give you his phone number, and then after he does, I'm going to give you my email address.
Area code 615. Area code 615-513-2022. 513-2022. In the state of Tennessee, give me a call. I'll send you a free Bible on CD and give you a Good News Magazine subscription free of charge.
Absolutely. Or call anywhere you are. We've got congregations everywhere.
Now, let's just say somebody wants to comment to you they didn't quite understand some of the things.
Are they going to tell me, please don't sing?
Don't sing, Brother Cox. But no, he's a great singer. He and I are going to do some stuff in church. We've already done one that I wrote. But email Brother Kellers and let him know about it.
All right. My email address is not going to be extremely short, but it isn't difficult. It's kellersfred77@gmail.com. Now, I'm going to say that again, and then I'm going to spell it. It's my name with last name first. My name's Fred Kellers, but it's kellersfred77 at gmail.com. That's kellersfred77@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you.
Tell them again about that Bible course. I like that Bible course.
That Bible course. And with that, we will send you the Bible study course, 12 lessons, and we'll also send you a free magazine. Comes out twice a month, called The Good News. They're going to change the name to Beyond Today. But it is really, I mean, there is no Christian magazine superior to it. And we got 1 minute.
Brother, let me say this to you, folks. I heard a woman say here not long ago, she was changing her diaper in a parking lot. She looked at me and I saw her and she said, I'm new at this, and I wish there was a manual that came with this. And I said, lady, there is one. It's called the Bible. And it'll tell you all about everything except how to change a diaper.
Yeah.
It'll tell you how to change your world and your life.
That's right. You want some good news? We got some for you. We got 30 seconds to thank you for listening in to us on WHIN. The good music's coming up.
Yes, folks. Don't you touch that dial. We love you. And
come
next
back
week,
next week. We're going to do more of the Sermon on the Mount.
Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Ask the Pastor this morning. If you have questions, email jrcarolwilliams@comcast.net. That's jrcarolwilliams@comcast.net. And join us again next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Ask the Pastor.